You may be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Mike Bartosek. I'm one of the pastors here, pastor of Congregational Life. It is so good to be able to speak to you this morning. I am one of three that will be sharing this morning. We're in a series looking at practices, and last Sunday, Pastor Lyle introduced listening prayer as part of the practices that we want to highlight, to encourage as we go through our faith journey, our walk with God. Listening prayer, a practice of lifting our heart's cry to God with a posture of listening to his voice. This morning, I, along with Pastors Melissa and Nathaniel, will be sharing some of our experiences, our thoughts around listening prayer. Listening in prayer implies that God speaks. It implies that God has a voice and that he speaks to each one of us. I don't make a habit of popping my Bible open and kind of pointing my finger down and asking, okay, what God do you want to speak to me today? That is not my practice at all. This morning, I approached, I had my Bible reading time this morning, and I have a reading plan that I go through for the whole year. And before I opened my Bible this morning, knowing that I was going to be talking about listening prayer, I said, God, if there's something that you want to say to me, in relation to what I'm going to be talking about this morning, I ask that you would speak to me. And in my Bible reading, today in the book of Psalms, my reading was Psalm 29. And if there is any doubt that God has a voice and that God speaks, go to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, verse 3 says, the voice of God is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Amen. God speaks. And when we talk about listening prayer, Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the voice of God and about how God speaks through his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God speaks to us through his word to our life, to equip us, to teach us, to correct us. God speaks. He speaks to us through his word. Another reminder of the voice of God speaking to us comes from the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says this, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. God speaks to us through his word, and he sees us. And that shouldn't frighten us. That should assure us that God knows exactly where we're at. And when he speaks to us through his word, when we ask God to speak to us, when we listen for God, when we go in our prayer, God, I need to hear from you. I need for you to speak to me. He sees us. Hebrews 4 has its origins in Psalm 95. And you go to Psalm 95, it says this, "Oh, come, let us kneel. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test." When we talk about listening prayer, when we talk about listening to the voice of God and acknowledging that God speaks to us through His word, we're also warned about hearing the voice of God and then ignoring, not following through. And so when we talk about listening prayer and when we talk about going to the Bible and reading God's word, I believe listening prayer needs to be an essential part of opening God's word each and every time we do that, that we pray as we go to His word, "God, you speak through your word, and I pray that you would speak to me and that I would be open and receptive to what it is that you want to say to me today." And that God is faithful to teach us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness through His word, and that He sees us, and that His word is able to speak to where we are at today, knowing our thoughts and desires. And so when I talk about or think about listening prayer, I think about when we go to His word, that we should go with a heart posture of going, "God, speak to me. I pray that you would speak to me today through your word. You know exactly where I'm at." My favorite psalm is Psalm 139. It is, I have gone to this psalm for a long, long time. Psalm 139 starts with, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O God." And this whole psalm is an understanding of God's presence and His awareness of what's happening in our lives. And David knew that God was aware of every aspect of his life. And when we talk about listening prayer, David concludes Psalm 139 with a listening prayer. The last two verses of Psalm 139, David prays this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That, to me, is a listening prayer. David gives God full access because he knows that God knows him. And he prays, "God, search me. Know me. Know my heart. Know what I'm anxious about, and lead me. Speak to me." A second prayer that is perhaps a more indirect form of listening prayer, I find in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is teaching us how to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is calling us to prayer. And I think sometimes we get so familiar with the Lord's Prayer that we can rattle it off. We can get through it really quickly. But I would encourage you, when you are able to go very slowly through the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus taught us how to pray, and to listen, to listen, when Jesus teaches us how to pray, it's not so that we can get through it and get to the end, but that we would pray earnestly, pray slowly, and listen to what God has to say to us. And I would ask that you would, in the quietness of this time, allow me to lead you in the Lord's Prayer slowly. And that you would pray with me, but also pray listening for God to speak to you, perhaps about how he is your Father, perhaps about his will and his kingdom, perhaps about sin, perhaps about temptation and his deliverance. So I'd ask you to bow your heads and your hearts with me as I lead you in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thank you, Father, that you speak to us. And we pray that we would listen to what it is that you want to say to us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe listening prayer is a vital part of our walk with God. And I'm going to ask Pastor Nathaniel to come up and continue.
Thanks, Wink. And thank you for the powerful and encouraging reminder to elevate God's word in listening prayer. So I'm Nathaniel. I'm the young adults pastor here, if this is your first time here. I'll be touching on listening prayer in the context of finding silence and solitude when it comes to discerning God's will in our lives. In the book, The Screwtape Letters, who has read The Screwtape Letters, by the way? Oh yeah, it's a good one. It's a satire, for those of you who haven't read it. It consists of an experienced demon who is instructing his younger junior demon on effective strategies in tempting the believer away from God. And so C.S. Lewis writes in the mouth of the senior demon, this is letter 22, "Noise which alone defends us from silly qualms, despairing scruples, and impossible desires. We will make the whole universe a noise in the end. We have already made great strides in this direction as regards the earth. The melodies and silences of heaven will be shouted down in the end, but I admit we are not yet loud enough or anything like it. Research is in progress." In other words, the junior demon said, "Remind me again, what's the plan? How can we tempt the believer away from God? What is the plan?" And the senior demon goes, "The plan is actually pretty simple. to make so much noise in the world that men and women can no longer hear the voice of God. This book was published in 1942. That's 81 years ago. So if we look at the past 81 years, that's exactly what has happened. It's pretty prophetic, wouldn't you say? More than ever, we are living in a time where the noise is plenty and the noise is loud. Whether the noise is from the many points of views on different political issues, theological issues, presented persuasively on multiple social media platforms, or from the podcasts and radio shows playing in our cars, or from the opinions and thoughts of those we surround ourselves with, to the often distracting noise of our own flesh. With all of the external and internal noise, it can often become difficult to recognize the voice of God. And when we begin to listen more to the noise that is around us or within us, rather than listening to the voice of God, we need to take a step back. We need to take a step back. And as an aside, there might be times in our lives where we actually don't even recognize that we need to take a step back. But that actually is, that's why we need community. That's why we need mentors to be in the context of relationships so that we can be hearing the right things. Coming back to this, Donald Whitney writes in his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, many of us need to realize the addiction we have to noise. It's one thing to listen to the television, tape player, or radio while ironing or doing other chores, but it's another thing habitually to turn one of these on immediately upon entering a room just to have sound. Even worse is to feel that it's necessary to have background noise during Bible intake or prayer. I believe the convenience of sound has contributed to the spiritual shallowness of contemporary Western Christianity. End quote. The plan is to make so much noise in the world that men and women can no longer hear the voice of their God. And in a noise-saturated world, one of the greatest challenges is discerning the will of God in your life, which is why listening prayer is a great tool to help you know God's plan for you. And this is not God's general will, where he talks about how we are to be made holy and to be made more like Jesus Christ. We're talking about his specific will that he might have for each individual. That might look like a particular career path, where to live, a particular ministry or community that God wants you to serve in, a vision for your family, a relationship to reach out to. When we look at the story of Elijah, we read of God's will in his life as he discerns and as he listens to the voice of God. In 1 Kings 18, we are told of this amazing story where Elijah defeats 450 prophets of Baal. God had sent fire from heaven to consume the offering in order to prove his superiority. But then the word got out to Jezebel, King Ahab's wife. And she sends a message to Elijah threatening to end his life. And you think that for Elijah, in his shoes, after such a great victory, he'd have a little bit more courage in the Lord. But instead, he cowers and he's struck with fear and he runs to the very place that Moses encounters God, Mount Horeb. And in his despair and depression, the Lord ministers and cares for him. And it's in this moment, in 1 Kings 19, that it says, and he said, go out, this is verse 11, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. He positioned himself. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? The voice of the Lord was not in the wind, the earthquake, the fire, but in a low, gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he positioned himself in a way to receive what the Lord wanted to say. And from there, he discovered God's will in his life. And his life was not ending, and that he were to appoint three people to carry out the fulfilled promise of removing any Baal worship. And so the Lord dealt with Elijah's discouragement by offering a new perspective, a new direction to his ministry. When I became a Christian in second year university, I was a late bloomer. I went on a missions trip to Cambodia, and it really changed the trajectory of my life. At the time, I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to study, who I was becoming, and there were pressures from family and friends and my own pressures that I placed on myself. And at the same time, I'd just become Christian. So I wanted to really surrender my vocation, my future to the Lord, but my mind was just so clouded by external and internal voices that it was really challenging to know if God had any specific plan for my life. And it wasn't until I joined the Cambodian team that the noise was silenced. I was part of a team that had a unified purpose to serve God and the Cambodians. We had a scheduled time throughout our busy days for team and personal devotions. Prayer felt continuous as if it was just breathing. And I spent time in God's Word, lots and lots of time in God's Word. And all of these things together had helped reduce the noise of the world and of self, and instead helped to increase the volume and the clarity of God's voice. And as I drew near to God over the course of my time in Cambodia through praying and through listening, there was a conviction in my heart that full-time ministry might be the path that God was leading me towards. But as I listened and I spent time alone, there was noise that started to appear. It began to surface. The internal voice of, I'm not spiritual enough. I've only been a Christian for a short amount of time. I don't know enough. I'm too young to be a pastor. There was the voice of my parents that were hoping that I would find a better job. And in those moments of doubt, I wasn't sure if this was actually something from God. But as I listened throughout the trip, there was this constant pull, this nudge towards 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. So talking about God's word and hearing from that. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. There was a dwelling in his word that was followed by guidelines that eventually led me to take a step of faith and follow God's will in my life into full-time ministry. But that time of being in Cambodia, having that conviction, and going into full-time ministry, that was a year process, or going into seminary, was a year process of listening, of praying, of affirmation. And so following God's will in our lives requires us to listen to the voice of God. So in a noise-saturated world, part of listening prayer means to find solitude and silence. For some of us, that might look like morning and evening quiet times. For others, it might look like going for a walk on a familiar trail without your phones. It might even look like a drive to work or taking the LRT instead of listening to music or a podcast. You're trying to tune in to what God could be saying. That gentle whisper. Some of us might have to rewire the habits we have of filling our lives up with noise. And so if you know that you live a busy life, you might have to intentionally build a habit of waking up early in the morning to find silence and solitude needed to hear, to refocus, to reprioritize, to find clarity, to find resolve. And for the young families that are here today who are struggling to make or to find space to hear the voice of God in silence and solitude, be gracious to yourself, because God is gracious to you. It might be challenging to find daily space to hear, so your rhythm looks differently. It might look like once a week, taking turns to watch the kids, or finding help to watch the kids, and scheduling it in if possible, setting aside scheduled time in the morning before bed, or morning or before bed to practice hearing from God, going to a place of rest, finding your Mount Horeb, to be with God in His Word and to hear the plans He has for you. In a noisy world where it is getting more and more difficult to hear the voice of God, we have to be vigilant in creating spaces for silence and solitude in order to tune in to what He is saying and how He is leading us. My challenge for us is to take time and to sift through the noise and to reflect and take a look at where the loudest sources of noise in our lives may be coming from. And would this be a starting point in being aware of what you're listening to? Because ultimately, who and what we listen to will shape how we live and who we become.
Thank you so much, Pastor Nathaniel. As was mentioned, I'm Pastor Melissa. I work with Pastor Mike in Congregational Life. It is a joy to be here with you this morning and to speak on a topic that I certainly love, listening prayer. And so we've already covered a few things this morning, expecting to hear the voice of God through His Word, and the value of cultivating stillness, quietness. And so in with that, there are four keys that I have learned over the years that have been really important to my listening prayer journey. And so they're up on the screen there, and I'm just going to briefly touch on them. So, and Nathaniel, thank you so much. Just really digging into the need for stillness in our lives to cultivate that space. It takes effort, but it is worth it. Especially when you have a full house. Personally, I have to be very strategic about when and where I'm going to find quiet time between my husband, my four sons, and a 90-pound Hovavart dog. So, and so my Hovavart often joins me for morning devotions. But you have to be strategic. You got to press in for that. So that's our first point. Secondly, attend to and remove the barriers. How often have you sat down to say, and now I'm having my quiet time with the Lord, and you went, there was just so many distractions and so many other emotions going on. Anyone else? So many other things? How about to-do lists? Things that are just like, you got get on this, get on that. And that feeling of, do I really have time for devotions right now? Because my to-do list is pretty long. I don't think there's enough time in my day. And friends, I want to tell you a few important points when those things come up. First, if there are emotions that are rising up within you that don't match up with the fruit of the Spirit, they're not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, pay attention to those emotions. If it's anxiety, fear, shame, all sorts of things, lust, envy, pay attention and ask the Holy Spirit, where is this coming from? Because I want to get it under your lordship right now, first thing. Pay attention to your emotions and don't just try and ignore them, because sometimes the Holy Spirit has a word for us through what we are feeling. Pay attention. Sometimes it's because we need to come into confession before the Lord. And so we need to attend to that. If we need to be in confession saying, Lord, yeah, I really messed up there. And we repent. Mike mentioned the Lord's Prayer this morning. Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive those who sinned against us. Sometimes it's bitterness and judgment that's rising up in us when we're sitting down for that quiet time, and that might be the Holy Spirit saying, oh, let's attend to that bit of judgment you have against that person. You need to forgive them. We forgive our debtors just as we've been forgiven. So pay attention to those barriers. And for that to-do list, submit every item, pray through each one to the Lord and give it over to Him. He's our good shepherd. He can hold on to those things for the next 20 minutes, the next half an hour. And I have been astounded at how faithful He is to meet me when there's more tasks to do than time to do them in. Suddenly, when I prioritize my quiet time with the Lord, my perspective, my clarity about what needs to get done is so much sharper afterwards. He's so faithful to meet us in that. And then also to let us know when we're carrying burdens that we actually don't need to attend to for that day or ever. So we are cultivating stillness. We're attending to and removing the barriers that might get in the way of us listening to the Lord. And we are also practicing his presence. Psalm 16, verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. We practice his presence. God is everywhere. It's one of his characteristics. He is omnipresent. And that describes his universal presence. But then there is his manifest presence, which describes the obvious, palpable presence of him coming close. And we can train our senses to be aware of that. So when we come into this time of stillness, we need to sit in silence. We might listen to one worship song and reflect back to the Lord, our worship to him. And we might meditate just on one passage of scripture. These are the things that we do. These are how we build our muscles for learning to recognize when God comes near. We might go through quiet time and feel like, I'm not sure that the Lord was here. But we choose to walk in faith and train up those muscles for learning how to listen to him. And finally, and one last practice that has been incredibly beneficial in my journey with the Lord has been keeping a prayer journal. Psalm 77, verse 11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. We remember. In the Old Testament, particularly back in the Pentateuch, in Numbers chapter 15, the Lord actually commands the Israelites so that they won't forget his commands, so that they'll be obedient at all times. He commands the Israelites to actually add tassels to the corners of their garment. And so when they would look down at their clothing, they would see, oh, these tassels, and they have symbolic meaning. And don't forget the Lord your God who delivered you out of Egypt. Don't forget his commands to us. So if you'd like to add tassels to your clothing, you'd be fully in line with scripture. You're welcome to do that. But I want to suggest an easier option would be a journal. A place where we write and record our prayers to the Lord. This can be as simple as noting the scriptures that we've read that day. And if anything was highlighted for us, where we're like, oh, I want to pay attention to that one. They can be our prayer lists of people we're praying through and where we record our answered prayer. They can be our laments, our sorrows. They can be places where we begin to journal out, Lord, this is what's really hard right now, and I'm not sure where you're in on that. And then pause and listen. Oftentimes, I have the most effective time with the Lord when I'm actually writing out my prayers, and then I pause, and the Lord brings back to mind a scripture verse. Sometimes it's just a phrase, and I have to go Google the rest of it. And let me tell you, Google's my friend during my quiet time. And all of a sudden, that one phrase becomes a huge passage that the Holy Spirit highlights for me. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so much here that actually speaks to where I'm at right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I write it all down so that I have a place to go back and I can remember, this is how you met me here. And this is how you met me there. Because how many of us have learned over the years that we're really forgetful, an awful lot like the Israelites? I used to think that the Israelites, wow, how could they forget from week to week the goodness of God? And then I had children of my own, and then I got older, and I went, oh, yep, just as bad. Cannot remember from week to week what the Lord has done in my life. So I want to encourage you with that. And, you know, sometimes we have those profound moments with the Lord, and we don't want to forget. And so I'm going to just really briefly share one time with the Lord that came out of my listening prayer where I had too much to do, and not enough time, and my life was in chaos, and I pressed in with the Lord and said, this is too much. And it was in that moment that actually was the beginning of my journey of how I ended up here. So I'm going to be trying to keep this as brief as possible. So many of you know that my family and I worshiped at an Anglican church for 14 years. We loved our church. I was on staff there. And it was a place that just fostered me as I grew in my gifts and in my calling towards ministry. And while I was working there, I began my master's degree at Taylor Seminary. And one of the things you do when you work in the Anglican Church is if you start your master's, you also start your ordination process to become a priest. You see, to become a priest in the Anglican Church, it takes years. Years and years. They're very careful. They don't want to just invite anyone who has a whim. I think I'm called into ministry. They walk with you for a long time. So you want to get started on that sooner rather than later. The appropriate time is to start on that at the beginning of your master's program. And I asked the Lord, should I begin that? Am I to be in the Anglican Church for my life of ministry? Or have I just been here for a season? And God didn't answer me. So I thought, well, I don't want to make a move without having some direction. I'll just continue my degree. So almost 3 years goes by, and I'm asking that Lord, like on a weekly basis, and I'm hearing nothing. Plenty of other things, let me tell you. Plenty of other things that he definitely said, Melissa, fix that. Get that in line. You need to confess that. But he wasn't saying anything about my direction. And so in the winter, it was February of 2021, I thought, you know, I should just have a conversation with the person, the chairman that is over the board of ordination in the Anglican Church. So I set up a Zoom meeting with him because we're still in the pandemic. And we began having conversation, and it was a really difficult conversation because there were some things in the Anglican Church of Canada that they were moving towards, and I wasn't in theological agreement. And the chairperson brought this up and explored that with me because he wanted to make sure, like, is this what you want to support and identify with? And after that conversation, even though it was challenging, I wasn't deterred. I'm okay to like put my staff in the ground and say, that's okay. This is where we're marching forward. I'm holding my ground here. That's how I came out of that conversation. Fast forward 6 weeks. I'm up to my eyeballs in final projects. There is a number of challenging dynamics happening in my workplace that are not being resolved. The kids just were finishing up a week of spring break where we went nowhere and did nothing because we're in the pandemic and everything's closed. So my kids are climbing the wall. I'm trying to make Easter dinner and my oven dies. And then I discover that I have an assignment due the very next day and I had written the due date down wrong. So I get up early in the morning because I'm like, I got to submit this assignment by the end of the day. I get up and one of my boys gets up at the same time and comes downstairs and says, Mom, are we going to play some games together today? And I have to say to him, no, because Mom has this major assignment to do. And he bursts into tears. So now I'm a failure as a mom, and now I'm behind on these assignments, and everything just feels like I'm being constricted and I can't do anything. And I find a quiet space to be with the Lord. I go, I can't do this. This is too hard. Why is this so hard this weekend? It's Easter. I'm supposed to be rejoicing. You've been resurrected from the dead, and I've feel like I'm being pushed into the grave. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, this conversation I had with my chairperson from the ordination committee comes up. And the question he asked me was, Melissa, what are you going to do if you don't agree with this issue, but you have to obey your bishop because you've taken a vow? And all, I was like, why is that coming to mind, Holy Spirit? So I'm attending to and removing barriers. Something's popped into my mind that I wasn't expecting while I'm wallowing in my difficulty at this point. And I go, why am I thinking about that, Lord? And the Holy Spirit impresses on my mind how you're feeling right now is going to be how it feels if you stay in ministry in this church. And I went, oh. Suddenly, everything I was feeling was a metaphor for how my journey would be, because that's not who God designed me to be. Personally, this is my journey. He didn't make me to walk in that space. And I, out loud said, oh, I'm not supposed to continue in the Anglican Church. And immediately, the peace of God, in a way I had never experienced before in my life, flooded through my body. And I just began to weep because it was so unexpected. I still had to do that assignment yet. My kids were still not impressed with me. But suddenly, I had the peace of God to sustain me when I needed to finish my schooling, resign from my position at this church, say goodbye to a community I love, and step out in faith when I didn't know with any certainty of what was ahead. I had no idea I was going to become a Baptist. That was like not even on my radar. But what if I hadn't brought that to the Lord? What if I hadn't been paying attention and coming to Him with my whole heart and saying, I want to hear from you. And I pressed in for 3 years, and He was faithful to answer. And so this morning, you know, Pastor Mike and Pastor Nathaniel and myself, we want to encourage you. You can hear from the Lord. His word is living and active. It penetrates between soul and spirit. We know the demonic plan of the enemy to create so much noise you can't hear him. You can say no to that. And as we heard, Elijah, and there was so much noise. There was the thunderstorm, there was the earthquake, there was the fire, and then there was the still small voice. And he did wait, and he did hear it. So this morning, as we consider how we engage in this practice, we want to encourage you, press in, cultivate that stillness, pay attention to the things that are distracting you that might be barriers, practice His presence, even if you don't feel it, practice being still and quiet so you might catch wind, catch that small whisper, and keep a prayer journal. So you can remember the ways in which the Lord has met you and ministered to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your voice is powerful and majestic, and that your heart is for us to hear from you and know you, even as we recognize in the gospel how Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I'm only doing what I see him seeing and speaking to me. That was an example for us to live into, Lord Jesus. And so our hearts to this morning today are to say, refresh us and renew us in how we need to follow you and be attentive to your voice in our lives today. This we ask in your name. Amen.